The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Wednesday, ESPN's first sports betting-themed NBA telecast. Live from Las Vegas, the Daily Wager crew breaks down all the numbers, live odds, and prop bets for Nets 76ers, plus live updates from around the association. NBA Wednesday Daily Wager Special, 7 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+.
And that is connected to this, our NBA Wednesday doubleheader tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app. You get KD, Kyrie, and the Nets taking on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. That's the game we're talking about. It's a matchup of the two best teams in the East. And then we're going out west. Luka and the Mavs taking on Ja Morant and the Grizz. That's the doubleheader. It's tomorrow night. And it's right here on ESPN, where we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny. It is a huge day. The football crew is standing by ready to go on a day that could change a lot of things. So let us run it here. Let's give you the menu for hour number two, because we're getting up with another field day. We'll tell you exactly what is at stake today as Justin puts on a second show for NFL teams. Meanwhile, you will hear why some people think this is going to be the best quarterback in the draft and why, you know what, they might just be right. Plus, if you thought Aaron Rodgers was frustrated before, wait until you see what happened yesterday. You will in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And it starts with Justin Fields, who will take part in a second pro day today. And as previously reported, both the 49ers general manager John Lynch and their head coach Kyle Shanahan are expected to be in attendance. And that is important for a number of reasons. Take a look at Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 4.0. He unveiled it yesterday here on this show, and you see where the big five quarterbacks are currently scheduled to go. He's got Mac Jones in there at 3 to San Francisco. Justin Fields falling all the way to being the fifth quarterback here. Can that change today? So let's set the stage for what is a very important day in the process. And Kimberly Martin among those who's gotten up with us today. Kimberly, who do we know is going to be at this pro day, and why is that important?
A lot of NFL teams, including the 49ers, but also the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Patriots. A lot of people are interested in what Justin Fields can do, and for good reason. But he already had a pro day, right? So what is he going to show this time around? Nothing except who he is. He had a spectacular pro day. This isn't about Justin Fields trying to convince the 49ers that he should be their pick at number three. His inner circle has already told him, look, just be you, and that's good enough. Whatever the Falcons, whatever the 49ers do, that's on them. Just go out there and have a good pro day, which I'm sure he will.
Yeah, you know, the teams involved are so fascinating. Again, 49ers sitting at 3, the Falcons sitting at 4, the Panthers at 8, and they just made a trade for a young quarterback. The Patriots, everyone knows the circumstances there. But Mike T, the reason I wanted to get you in this conversation, because we talked about this a little earlier, and Teddy essentially posited that at this stage, you know who you're taking. These teams know what they're doing. They've done so much work on all of this. So I guess I have a two-part question for you, Mike T, as one who has run two different front offices. At this point, do these teams know who they're taking? And if they do, then what is at stake in this pro day today?
Well, absolutely, they should know. I totally agree with what Teddy said. What's at stake is quite a bit. I think Justin Fields gets credit for showing up. And you just never know. You know, Kyle Shanahan has moved around in his career. He tried to bring Kirk Cousins out to San Francisco. He had Matt Schaub from Atlanta going to Houston. You never know. And 3-4 years from now, having time with Justin Fields today, it just makes good sense. Remember, no combine, no traditional pro days, no visits back to the facility. So it says to the speaks a lot to the professionalism of Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, their GM. They're being very thorough. And you never know what's going to happen, but there's no doubt in my mind they have already made up their mind.
So Teddy, if that is the case, then what are you looking to see from a Justin Fields? What do you see in him as you watch him?
What I see him is, I mean, obviously there are all the physical traits that we've all talked about. I think additionally with this extra workout, I think Justin's saying, hey man, you want me to jump through all these hoops? Fine. I'll jump through these hoops, whatever you need to see. So the physical things, of course, he'll show them again, all of his athletic ability, all of the throws that he can make. I think Mike T's right though. The relationships that he'll form in this workout with everyone that is there, how they will get comfortable with him. Yeah, this is a guy that I can see as our quarterback. Now, he's not the guy we'll probably take at this certain draft pick or something like that, but sure, Justin Fields is a guy that has that open-mindedness that if I got to see something from him, he'll do it. He'll jump through the hoops. I think that's what he's showing more importantly in this workout is that you want to see it again, I can do it again because I'm that kind of competitor.
And the Falcons have a big decision to make at 4. The Panthers have a big decision to make. Maybe they take a quarterback. Maybe they trade out of the spot to someone who wants to come up there. Maybe that someone is the Patriots. Desmond, I feel like if the draft had been held 2 days after the season, Justin Fields would have been the second pick in the draft. Here we are 3 months later, and everyone has picked everything about him apart, and he has fallen in this way. What do you make of that, of the process, and of the way the narrative has sort of been formed around this particular player?
Well, the beauty about the draft is because we do have it so much later after the season, it gives these guys an opportunity to really look at the film, break down the tape, and then see what these guys are about. And the reason we're talking about Justin Fields so much is because he's been coveted since he came out of high school. You're talking about a five-star recruit, and he had a fantastic career at Ohio State. And now what you're starting to do, Green, is you start to split hairs. You need to see what separates one from 1A from 1B and things of that nature. And that's what they're going through at this point. So I think that Justin Fields is going to have a really good pro day. Now, his last pro day, he said he wanted to run a 4.3. He only ran a 4.4, and I say only because he wanted to run a 4.3. Maybe the day he runs a 4.3 and he feels better about his pro day, but it gives them a chance to really lay eyes on Justin Fields, to see how big this kid is, to see how he's built, and then have even things that will be considered casual conversations, but I think there are always underlying messages under casual conversations with GMs and head coaches. So it gives them an opportunity to talk to him and kind of pick his mind to see what type of kid he is too.
So the bottom line of it is, again, Mike T, I want to sort of pin this thing down. The 49ers are coming to this. Kyle Shanahan will get the opportunity for whatever that is worth, maybe down the line in the future, to spend some time around him, and who knows what that might lead to. But is there anything that Justin Fields can show or do today that if you were making that decision at number 3 could sway you at this stage in the process?
No way. And as Teddy said last hour, they should be fired if they gave up 2 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick for uncertainty. A couple years ago when we drafted Mark Sanchez, we traded up from 17 to 5, but we went through the whole process. We worked out guys like Josh Freeman, and once all the hay was in the barn, then we made the trade. You can't make a trade of that magnitude without 100% certainty. It's good business to be there. You're going to learn something about Justin Fields. There's other prospects there, but in my mind, there's zero he could do today. Whatever decision they've made, it's, to me, it's firmly etched in pen, not pencil, and they're going to just go there today because it's part of their responsibility.
Okay, fascinating to watch. We'll see what he does, and we'll see what, if anything, comes out of it. Meanwhile, let's do a little NFL draft either or here. Let's play the game, and Des, I'm starting with you. Which of these quarterbacks at the top of the draft to get to the playoffs first, Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson? Who you got?
A lot of respect for Zach Wilson. I'm going with Trevor Lawrence. Man, this guy's been a winner from day one. Don't forget, he came into Clemson, and he had a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He took Kelly Bryant's job. You know, he's 34-2 as a starter. Lived up to all the hype. He's a big quarterback, but he has sneaky athleticism, can run. I have to go with Trevor Lawrence over Zach Wilson.
He never lost a regular season game in college or high school. Mike T, who has more upside, Justin Fields or Trey Lance?
It's Trey Lance, and nothing against Justin Fields, but there is something so intriguing about Trey Lance. Greedy, he had through one interception in college in the championship game a year ago. He ran for 166 yards. If he had played in a Power 5 school, we'd be having a lot more conversation about Trey Lance. I'm really intrigued by him.
All right, and then we go to San Francisco, where, again, the expectation is they will take Mac Jones at number 3. So if they do, Teddy, who's their starting quarterback week 1, Mac Jones or Jimmy G?
I still say Jimmy G starts week one. I know you want to get this guy on the field as a number three overall pick, but to doing it the right way, I mean, maybe wait till week eight and you give him some type of development. Garoppolo can hang on. I know the problem with him has been his durability, and maybe that happens again, and then maybe all of a sudden he has to play week two. But I'm starting with Jimmy Garoppolo to start because that team, they do still feel strongly about Jimmy G as a starter.
Yeah, well, and he's there and he's healthy. They tend to win games. I mean, that has clearly been the case during his career there. In the meantime, speaking of Mac Jones, the presumptive number three, yesterday on this show, Lewis Riddick said this.
Some very, very, very smart quarterback tutors and former offensive coordinators who coached at a very high level in the NFL have told me they believe Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft. Not just one that needs to be in the mix or that deserves to be in the mix outside of Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, but they believe as though ultimately he's the best quarterback.
All right, Teddy Bruschi, when you hear that, some people think that Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft. What is your reaction?
I want to pump the brakes. That's all I want to do. I just want to pump the brakes on this because I mean, you can talk to any other evaluator and they'll say, that's crazy. I mean, I talk to some people and they say they hear about that and they're like, there's no way. I mean, when you have Trevor Lawrence, you even got a Zach Wilson, the potential that he has, and throw in Justin Fields there, I can't see Mac Jones as the best quarterback in the draft. I realize Lewis talks to a lot of educated people and that may be their opinion, but the truth always comes out. And there are two times in the NFL calendar that I believe finally the truth comes out of all these GMs and all these head coaches who lie in front of press conferences. It's free agency on who they sign, and it's the draft on who they select. And that's when the truth comes out. Right now, it's just smokescreen season.
That's really well said. You pay attention to what they do, not to what they say. So that brings up a fascinating question. And Mike T, again, you have sat in this seat as the general manager in two different places. As you assess value, okay, the San Francisco 49ers traded a lot to get up to the number three spot in the draft. If Mac Jones is definitively not the third best player, but he is the right player for them, is that taking advantage of the value? Is that the right move for them to make if they believe he's the right pick for them, even if he isn't anywhere near the third pick, the third best player in this draft? How do you view that from a general manager's position?
Absolutely, 100%. And here's why. If they win consistently with Mac Jones, which obviously they believe they will, then if they had to give up an extra one or third round pick next year or the year after, no one's going to care. And you know why? It's going to be a really low first round pick or a really third round pick. So if there's a vision and a conviction about a player and how you're going to use them, and you have to overplay slightly, you as a GM could look at your head coach, at your owner, and say, hey, we're convicted, we're going to win with him, and the premium we're paying is a price we're happy to pay for the success we're going to have with him.
It's such a fascinating question, Desmond. I'll give it to you as well on this debate between value, which is like winning the draft. That's what Lewis called it yesterday. Your objective is not to win the draft. Your objective is to win the Super Bowl. If the player helps you win the Super Bowl, he's suggesting it doesn't matter whether the value was there or not in the draft. What do you think of that, Desmond?
Well, the operative word in that sentence that Lewis Riddick has said was best. And then how do you define best? What do you mean by best? But ultimately, the goal is to get the perfect fit. Even if I'm an agent, I may not want my guy to go as the highest pick if I know he can go to a team that's a better fit, that I think he's going to have a better and longer career with. So that's the ultimate goal, not only of these agents, of these players too, and of the GMs. You have to pick a guy who fits your system. You have a plan for him. You understand exactly how you're going to use him. But that doesn't, I'm still not, you know, he's going to be the best quarterback of this class. I mean, physically, no. Maybe the 49ers, if they pick him, will put enough parts around him that he will have success, something similar to what he had in Alabama. But you're going to have to put the best of the best around this kid for him to have that type of career where you say he was the best one taken in the 2021 draft.
Go ahead, Teddy.
Yeah, this is the only position that you do this for. I mean, it's the quarterback position. I mean, if Mike T's right, you feel strongly about it, and I don't care if it's number one overall, and no one thinks he's worthy of the number one overall pick. If he's perfect for you, you get him. Now, the only downside is you are hitching your wagon to this kid. So if he fails, then you'll probably be looking for another job. But if you feel strongly about it and you got the team to surround him and have him succeed, absolutely, you got to justify that. But this is the only position you do that for.
That's right. They don't do that with linebackers, I think, is what you're trying to say. And I think you're 100% right. All right, we'll take a quick break as we continue. Much more as we get up in this. Oh, with that guy. If you think the Packers haven't given the NFL MVP enough respect, wait till you see what happened to him on Jeopardy last night. You will be amused. And so many talented pass catchers at the top of the draft. How do you choose one over the other? How about the perspective of a Heisman Trophy winning Super Bowl champion wide receiver? We'll go inside Desmond's draft diary next. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We're back on Get Up, and in case you missed this yesterday, the Minnesota Timberwolves top pick Anthony Edwards didn't quite know who the new owner of the team is going to be. Listen to this.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, nah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
Kimberly, your reaction?
As somebody who covered A-Rod and the Yankees and was in that clubhouse, you know that's got to burn. A-Rod's sitting there like, this kid doesn't know who I am? Alex, hello? J-Lo? Hello? Madonna? Oh, hello? Yeah, the way he so callously and nonchalantly was like, I don't know that man. That was gold. And that hurts A-Rod. I know it.
It also made, I don't know about anyone else, it made me feel very old. The idea there's a generation of people who don't know who A-Rod was makes me feel very old. Meanwhile, let's talk about another quarterback or another player who people these days certainly know, and that's Matt Ryan. How about that for a transition? He's been a terrific quarterback for a very long time. 2016 was his best year. He was the MVP of the league with the Falcons and took that team all the way to the Super Bowl. And then from that point forward, it has been sort of a steady decline for the team. Despite making the postseason in 2017, they've won just 18 games over the last 3 years. And with that regression, the Falcons might hit the reset button in this draft. With Ryan now being almost 36, they have a new head coach in Arthur Smith. They have the fourth pick overall. Their general manager is Terry Fontenot, and he said, quote, "We want to stack good quarterbacks. It's a prime time to do it when you have a player like Matt Ryan, because when you can get in the right quarterback, you don't have that pressure to play him right away. So it opens up so many possibilities, and we have to make sure we're evaluating those positions, and we feel good about where we are there." There are a lot of different ways to take that. It's certainly what I would say if, among other things, I wanted someone to come and try and trade for my fourth pick in this draft. So, Teddy, I'm giving it to you directly here. If you're the Falcons right now,
yeah.
Are you looking to bring in players to help Matt Ryan try and win a championship again, or are you looking to draft his eventual replacement?
Yeah, like I said about the smokescreen season, there you go right there. You make everyone think that you're okay with drafting a quarterback and developing under Matt Ryan, but you got to take advantage of the quarterback desperation, which is in this draft, and everyone wanting maybe to sneak up if their guy falls to four and go ahead and get him, because I think they should build, and they need to. Usually head coaches come in and they'll want to stackpile not quarterbacks, but draft picks in terms of building a foundational model for their team. So I would say definitely take advantage of the fourth overall pick, trade down, try to see if you can get some building blocks.
You know, in a day and age where quarterbacks are playing at a high level older and older, Mike, how would you, if you were in Fontenot's seat, how would you be viewing Matt Ryan, sort of looking out as the quarterback of your future? How would you be making this decision?
Yeah, I think he's close to the end. He's made a lot of money. He's been very successful. But when you watch him play, he is a skill-diminished player. He's not far away from where Ben Roethlisberger was. And I disagree with Teddy, which is it's about the quarterback, and the quarterback. If you could get somebody like a Trey Lance at number four from a GM perspective and say, hey, Trey Lance, Arthur Smith, you're the face of the franchise for the next decade, that's great. We got to remember that Patrick Holmes sat all but one game his rookie year while Alex Smith played. The rest is history, and I think it's an ideal situation for Atlanta to get their quarterback right now and let him sit behind Matt Ryan.
And so that was a perfect distillation of the decision they have to make. We got one vote on one side and one on the other, and that team has to make the decision. So, Kimberly, what are we hearing about what we expect from the Falcons, who, as you told us, will be at Justin Fields' pro day today?
I think what you just heard from Teddy and Mike is indicative of what the NFL feels. I don't think the NFL knows what the Falcons are doing, which is just what Terry Fontenot wants. But I don't get, as much as I hear Justin Fields and Trey Lance, people in the NFL sort of mock those two guys. They fit what the Falcons want. But I don't get the same level of desperation as some other teams, like the Patriots or the 49ers. I don't feel that with the Falcons. I don't hear people saying that they really need to move on from Matt Ryan right now because he's done. I think people can see them trading back and stockpiling some picks.
Yeah, I was under the impression that maybe Matt Ryan would be someone, as we played all this quarterback musical chairs over this past offseason, that maybe the Falcons would make that move then and he might go out to San Francisco or something like that. We'll see. That really feels like a pressure point in the upcoming draft. Speaking of drafts, tomorrow it's the 25th annual WNBA draft, and it's live here on ESPN at 7 Eastern. It'll be a virtual format once again. Dallas has the first two picks. Atlanta has number three. Indiana has number four. It's tomorrow on ESPN. In other news, in Minnesota, the Twins and the Timberwolves returned to action yesterday, 2 days after a deadly police shooting sparked massive protests and led to the postponements of all major sporting events in Minneapolis. Moments of silence were held to remember the victim, Dante Wright, at Target Field, where the Twins hosted the Red Sox, and then again at the Target Center, where the Timberwolves hosted the Nets. No fans were allowed at that game. Both teams wore warm-up shirts that read, "With liberty and justice for all," the final line of the Pledge of Allegiance.
At this point, it's you just really don't understand what's going on around here. You know, it's different stories every single day about families' lives getting altered because of police brutality. And I mean, at this point, I really don't know what to say.
In that span of about 11 months, you know, there's been no changes. There's been nothing. So, like, where do we go from here? Where are the changes? And I think that's what we need to see now because, you know, this has to stop.
Both the Timberwolves and Twins play day games because of the curfew. They will both do the same thing again today, with the Twins hosting the Red Sox at 2 p.m. Eastern and the Timberwolves hosting the Bucks at 4:30 in the afternoon. We'll take a short break. We have more to do as we continue to get up with you this morning. It may end up being the most talented receiver draft ever, but what factors will determine who your team targets? We'll find that out coming up next here on Get Up. And we do have trivia this morning. Sneaky Hembo, and this is for Dez. Desmond Howard is one of two players to win the Heisman as a non-quarterback and also win Super Bowl MVP. Who's the other? That's a sneaky question, and we'll see if Dez has the answer next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, Desmond Howard, Sneaky Hembo is coming for you today, and it's a great question. You are one of two players to win the Heisman and be named Super Bowl MVP who is not a quarterback? Who's the other one?
That's a very good trivia question, too, because there's four guys who won the Heisman and Super Bowl MVP. Two of the guys are quarterbacks. Then you have myself. And then you got my man from the Oakland Raiders, Marcus Allen, running back.
That is correct. Very well done. For the record, yeah, Hambo said it right. Strike the pose. Give me the Heisman pose one time in behalf of the fraternity.
Tell him sitting down.
There it is. Love it. All right, Desmond, let's do the draft diary here, okay? Let's look at some of the receivers that are going to get drafted here. You know these guys. Which guy in this class has the best hands?
Dear diary, I think that Devontae Smith, the wide receiver from Alabama who caught 117 passes last season, has just the best hands in the draft. And that's hard because there are a lot of gifted receivers, but this guy, he catches the ball effortlessly. He plucks it through the air, and he had that one-handed signature catch against LSU that kind of reminds me of a play I saw years ago with a guy named Charles Woodson against Michigan State. I would have to go with Devontae Smith as having the best hands, diary.
Next one, who's the best athlete of all these guys, Dex?
Oh, dear diary, I saw this young man play in Alabama, another gifted receiver, but he's more than a receiver. He's an athlete. He can do anything and everything on the gridiron that you want him to do. He's fast. He's explosive. He's dynamic. Not only is he a tremendous slot receiver, you can line him out wide, or you can put him in the backfield. You can run him on jet sweeps, and he also returns kicks and punts. It's just a beautiful thing to see when Jaylen Waddle has the ball in his hands, diary.
And then who has the highest upside of all these guys? Which one of them has the highest upside?
Dear diary, there's so much talent at the receiver position. And this guy right here, he's a tight end. Yeah, right. He's a receiver in a tight end's body. His name is Kyle Pitts. He's just a guy who, he's a once-in-a-generational talent. You don't see them that often. And then you have Jaylen Waddle, who always talked about an incredible athlete, Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner. And don't forget about Ja'Marr Chase, who in 2019 was the Biletnikoff Award winner as the best receiver in college football. They're all four guys. Guys, tremendous, tremendous upside, diary.
That's really well done. And I like that you put Pitts in there with the receivers. That's what he is. And if he ever winds up getting the franchise tag, he better remember that as well. All right, very good. Meanwhile, next order of business, we got Aaron Rodgers. He continues to host Jeopardy. And yesterday, this happened.
In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned five NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh?
He's very good on that show. And he has done very well
I
with
love
that
it.
Show.
The dry He's delivery. Good.
So his future might be in jeopardy, literally, but how about figuratively? As we consider what's going on with Aaron Rodgers now, it's gotten a little quieter over the last few weeks. Kimberly, what are we hearing?
He's a Packer right now for this year. That's what everybody believes. This year, yes. But the future, it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Green Bay much longer. The end is near, Greeny. That's what people think.
The end of him in Green Bay is near. And so, Teddy, as you assess this thing, what is your takeaway from Aaron Rodgers and why this has gone the way it's gone for a player still playing as well as he is?
Yeah, and a player that, you know, has a memory like an elephant, remembers everything, takes everything personal. That's what these successful quarterbacks do. You know, he's still got a chip on his shoulder for not going number one overall, for having to wait in the draft room, and he's got a huge chip on his shoulder because of what the Packers did in last year's draft, drafting Jordan Love as that number one overall pick. He remembers that they traded up. And you know what he's going to see this year? He's actually going to see Love start to make progress and start to get better, because hopefully he's that kind of player for the Green Bay Packers, and that's probably going to upset him even more. Because I just win the MVP, and yes, you got a good player in here. So now I got to look out for myself, and I got to realize where do I want to be to finish my career, because obviously you don't want me to do it here because of not of what you say, but what you did was the truth, and you drafted a quarterback trading up in the first round.
Exactly right. And so, Mike T., how are you handling this thing? If you're in Green Bay right now, how do you view your quarterback situation at this moment?
Greeny, it scares me to death because Aaron Rodgers could say, hey, I'm done, I'm going to Jeopardy, or I'm going to be only playing on the West Coast because this is the next part of my career. And as an organization, you just can't compete against that. And now all of a sudden, to Teddy's point, he's going to say, hey, you said Jordan Love was worth trading up for. He didn't follow you. That's your future. Best of luck, but I'm out of here. And that would scare me to death if I'm Green Bay because he's playing at a really high level and should be for the foreseeable future. And that's just something you can't compete against if he's like, I'm moving on in terms of career. And that would really worry me if I'm the Packers.
And Teddy, there's another factor in this, and it's something that I'm not sure we've ever seen in the NFL before, but I think from now forward, it has to be known as the Brady effect. And that is, Tom Brady goes to Tampa, and that team just goes all in. They do something you don't typically see in the NFL, which is they say, the heck with the future. We're putting all of our resources into winning in this little window that we have with Tom. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking down there, and I'm thinking, that's what I want. I want to go somewhere where they're going to do that.
Yeah, and how about taking it a step further in Aaron Rodgers knowing that he wants out of Green Bay after this year and him behind the scenes already in contact somehow, some way with a team that he knows he'll play with after next year. So start putting pieces together so when I come there, we're ready to go. Does it go that far? You know what I mean? Because quarterbacks, they think ahead, they know they have the power, they know where their future's gonna go, they know they're gonna be healthy and still playing great football next year. So does he have that already in his mind on where his future's going to be?
That is the NBA-ization of the NFL to its truest. If you listen to people now, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade decided at the Olympics in 2008 that they were going to team up together someplace, and they came together in Miami a couple of years later. Maybe that stuff does go ahead. And I'll say this, just knowing how he keeps a chip on his shoulder, if he doesn't wind up getting the Jeopardy job full-time, watch out, Pat Sajak. This guy, you never know. He's going to come back, wheel of fortune. He's coming back on some other game show. And he's, because I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers just does not let this stuff slide off his back. All right, how about the game of the night last night in the NBA? You heard the Boston Celtics mentioned on Jeopardy there. How about their meeting with the Trailblazers last night? First game between these two teams all year, and it was a great one. 9 minutes to go. The Celtics have a five-point lead, and Jason Tatum is adding to that. He was 4 of 7 from three. Celtics up 8, but that lead's not safe when Dame Lillard's on the other side. Look at the range. One of his 5 threes on the night. It's a five-point game. More from Lillard, keeping his team in it. There's another three. Blazers staying within striking distance. 2 minutes to go. It's a three-point game. Watch this shot from Lillard. Falling away. That's ridiculous. He had 28 points, 10 assists. We're tied. A minute to go. Blazers down by 2. Lillard, this time, he's dishing. And it's C.J. McCollum. 3-ball, corner pocket. 16 points for him. 112-111. Blazers, but under 10 seconds to go. Celtics have a one-point lead, and now it's a four-point lead. Tatum, the cold-blooded step-back three. He had 25 of his 32 in the second half, and the Celtics hang on to win a thriller, 116-115. It's their fourth straight road win, their longest such streak since March of 2020. They've also won 4 in a row regardless of location after going 4-5 in their previous 9 games. And you will see great NBA action tonight on ESPN. KD, Kyrie, and the Nets scoring off against Joel Embiid and the Sixers, matchup of the best teams in the East. That's at 7 Eastern, and it's followed by Luka and the Mavs taking on Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. All the action coming your way tonight on ESPN, and you can watch on the ESPN app. Coming up, the Eagles are going forward with Jalen Hurts. But how long will it take teammates to believe he's the right choice? We've got unique insight from Teddy on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and let's do some draft quarterback superlatives. Mike Tannenbaum, of the quarterbacks in this draft, who's the best improviser?
Zach Wilson. That's his game. He's unbelievable. Off platform, out of the pocket. He can get the ball down the field and green, most importantly, accurately. He is at best when he's improvising.
He right now figures to be the number two pick in this draft. Desmond Howard, who's the most accurate of the quarterbacks in this draft?
I would have to go with Mac Jones. I tell you what, when you watch Mac Jones play, man, the ball comes out on time, so clean, and you talk about accuracy, and you also talk about ball placement. I had a conversation with Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner. He said, no matter how open we are, he always puts the ball in the place where we can keep running with it, especially like on bubble screens. So I would have to say Mac Jones is the most accurate quarterback.
That is his calling card. And then back to Mike T. Which of these guys is the likeliest to lead his team to the Super Bowl?
Let's not overcomplicate it. Trevor Lawrence. And as Desmond alluded to earlier, he's played against the Alabamas, the Ohio States, his whole career. It's not just a weak ACC schedule. He is the prototypical player, great character. He has a chance to be an all-time great.
He never lost a regular season game at the collegiate or the high school level. So picking him to win does feel like a pretty safe bet. There's no question about that. Meantime, we talk about him. Let's talk about another quarterback and one who went in last year's draft, and that is this man. That's Jalen Hurts. After starting the last four games last year and then seeing Carson Wentz traded to Indianapolis, Hurts enters this year as the Eagles QB1. And there's a lot of confidence in him in his own locker room. His right tackle, Lane Johnson, had this to say to the Philadelphia Inquirer, quote, "I think you see a guy who has an arm and is versatile with his legs, but we're still waiting to see what we can do in a full season. He carries himself like a veteran." And I want to bring the crew back in on this. And Teddy Bruschi, it's a fascinating. We talked about this a bit in our first hour. We had some technical difficulties. So, Teddy, you weren't with us. But this situation where you have a young, unproven quarterback going into a second year that everyone seems to have all this confidence in, you know, it sort of makes me think back to a time when you were on a Patriots team that an unproven second-year quarterback come in because of injury in the person of Tom Brady. How long did it take before you and the rest of your teammates figured out, oh, yeah, we've got something special here?
That was nothing immediate. I mean, it took 2 years. I mean, we won every game we possibly could during that first championship season through a lot of other ways of winning the football games. I mean, special teams defense as Tom developed and hit a lot of checkdowns down. I mean, what Lane Johnson said is super important because that voice coming out of that locker room, as important as Lane Johnson is, expressing that type of confidence is the number one thing you need first. So you have that. But the next thing you need is other players and other units to realize he's still got a ways to go. And they have to be counted on to pick up the slack. Because right now, for Jalen to lead them to a Super Bowl all by himself, on his shoulders, it's not going to happen. All right, they'll be competitive for the NFC East, but they need help everywhere. Their offensive line needs to play well. Defense, everybody needs to bring it up while he develops and buy him time. If that happens and the ball bounces your way and you still win football games, then maybe you're onto something. But immediate sort of championship level play from Jalen, I don't expect.
And I want to underline what Teddy just said for everybody when you say it took about 2 years for you to figure out Tom was special. Just a reminder that you won the Super Bowl that first season, right? Just to be clear, that year that
we did win the
yes. Super Bowl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the next season after that, you go 9-7, I think it was. We didn't even make the playoffs, so it's like, oh man, was it just a 1 year thing that we were special? So there was still a lot of things that had to be hammered out. Other players had to develop along with Tom. That fortunately all happened, and then all of a sudden there was a moment where you looked and like, oh my gosh, I think we're onto something. And that's when you start to realize what you have at the quarterback position.
So, Kimberly, and again, not to try and start projecting any of that on someone like Jalen Hurts, but as you talk to people there in Philadelphia, hear that confidence coming from his locker room. What do you hear?
Greeny, it's a good thing Teddy Bruschi isn't in that Eagles locker room. My goodness. They think quite the opposite, actually. Everything that Lane Johnson said, it marries what I've heard, which is even since last year when he came in to replace Carson Wentz, it was, this kid is special. We don't know what he's going to turn into, but man, he's got this magnetism. Guys want to be around him. He's somebody that, you know, no matter who he's talking to on the team, it's like, oh, okay, Jalen, like, he's that dude. We believe in him. So in the huddle, there's that confidence. When he goes up to the line of scrimmage, it's like, okay, he can do whatever he does. We believe in him. Now, Eagles still don't know what they've got, but they're confident that they've got something special. And some of those feelings didn't exist last year when Carson Wentz was in the building.
And look, they put their money where their mouth is, at least on some level with regard to that. You know, Teddy made the point earlier, paid no attention to what they say. Look at what they do. Mike T, the Eagles had the sixth pick in this draft. They were in a position to draft a quarterback if they wanted to when they voluntarily traded out. To me, that speaks some to some level about what they think of Jalen Hurts, no?
Oh, yeah, and I love their plan. It's a very reasonable approach. Jalen Hurts, it's your job to lose, and I'm sure they're thinking, hopefully it's for the next 10 years, but if for whatever reason they do stumble with him, Greeny, they have three first-round picks next year, assuming Carson Wentz triggers his trade clause where Indy gives up a one for Wentz next year. So I love what they're doing. They can win for today with Jalen Hurts and have potentially three ones next year if it doesn't work out.
Right, and you know what those three ones can turn into. Remember where you heard this first, Teddy Bruschi. Russell Wilson, those three ones could turn into, if things don't go well this year, those three ones could very easily turn into Russell Wilson. Super quick, Teddy, you like it or not?
I'd do it.
All right, that's the only seal of approval I need. We'll take a short break. We have much more to come as we continue.
Go.
Getting up with you today. Cam Newton back for another year with the Patriots. But what will it take for New England to move up and select Justin Fields as their quarterback of the future? That answer on the way. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We have got a big doubleheader of hoops coming your way on ESPN Friday night. First at 7 Eastern, showdown between two of the teams and the best teams in the league, Clippers and Sixers. Then at 9:30 Eastern, the surprising Knicks take on Luka and the Mavs. That's your doubleheader Friday night on ESPN. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up next here today on ESPN. Ben Simmons says there's only one ball. How will KD and Kyrie respond when the Nets face the Sixers tonight? Plus, is the NBA playing around a mistake? Stephen A. Max and Molly get into that and more top of the hour here on ESPN. Meanwhile, it's a big day in football, with Justin Fields taking part in his second pro day today. And among those who will be there, the 49ers general manager John Lynch and the head coach Kyle Shanahan, they'll be in attendance. They were not when he had his first pro day. And this is significant because Mel Kiper Jr. has his mock draft up there, 4.0. He debuted it yesterday here on this show. And he, as you see, he has Justin Fields going 10 to the Patriots in a trade with Dallas. But maybe of greater consequence, he is the 5th of 5 quarterbacks that Mel projects going there in round one, and maybe he can do something about that today. So let's finish it there. Kimberly Martin, what can you tell us about who will be in attendance today at his pro day and why that's important?
The teams that need quarterbacks will be in attendance. You've got the Jets will be on hand, but really the 49ers, the Panthers, the Patriots, the Panthers, Falcons. A lot of teams will be in attendance. Not to say that this pro day has any effect on what the 49ers will do in 2 weeks, but it gives everybody an opportunity to see Justin Fields up close and in person. There are no private workouts. There is no combine. These are opportunities for teams to see him, and coaches that have seen him before are like, I just want to see him do some things again, because he's just getting a feel for who he is. That's really the point of this. And he's going into this thinking, I just need to do me. I just need to be myself. Make some accurate throws. Show them what they're getting if they were going to draft me.
Yeah. And so Desmond, again, is one who has chronicled, you know, pretty much every moment of his college career. What is the significance of that? The people who are seeing him up close and personal for the first time, what are they going to see? What will those guys who haven't seen him in person before, what will they see today?
They're going to be impressed with his physical stature. I'm sure he's going to take his shirt off again and run a 40 like he did last time. And they're going to be like, wow, this kid is sturdily built, built almost like a linebacker. Mm-hmm. They're going to be wooed by his athleticism, too. Now, last time he ran a 4.4, he's going to try to go sub 4.4 today because he said he wanted to run a 4.3. Outside of that, Kimberly also said that they're going to script some 49ers plays too. So now he's gonna try to appeal to the 49ers and show them that he can run their plays better than the guy that they already have. He better nail those plays or they just might walk out of the workout.
We'll see. Look, if I was built like that young man, I wouldn't own a shirt, much less wear one at the workout. Neither here nor there. So Teddy, let me come to you, Teddy. As one who knows Bill Belichick as well as anybody, Mel is projecting Bill to make an aggressive move up in the draft, something he never traditionally does, to go get a quarterback. Do you buy it?
It's been an aggressive offseason for the Patriots and Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. uncharacteristic of all the signings and additions for that team. I would say absolutely yes. I would be surprised if Fields fell that far because I feel so strongly about him as a player. But if he gets there to that 10, I see what Mel's talking about here. It's definitely time for the Patriots to then consider, what do we got to do to get this guy? Because this is the type of guy that could develop under Cam Newton. You know, you teach him for a year and they would sculpt a program and an offense perfect for him. So I would say this is where you make a move, go get Fields at 10 if he falls that far.
Well, it's a really interesting point Teddy makes. And so Mike T, let's talk about price. Once the four quarterbacks go off the board and Fields is there, then you're talking about Detroit has the 7th pick in this draft. Carolina has the 8th pick in this draft. And when do you start thinking, if you're the Patriots, I need to go up and get him right now before someone else does?
Yeah, greedy, right there, 7 to 10. And what I'm trying to do is give up my second round pick this year and a second round pick next year. And if I'm Coach Belichick and I'm on the phone with Detroit, Carolina, Dallas, I am not getting off the phone. And here's why. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Washington, they're all behind us. They need a quarterback either this year or in the future. So if I could get Justin Fields for two twos, a two this year and a two next year, I am doing it, and I am not getting off the phone until that deal is done, because there's too many teams behind me that can make that price go up really quick.
Well, it's a fascinating thing to watch. It feels like a very important little moment in this process. We are 15 days from round one of the NFL draft, and maybe some decisions will be significantly influenced by what they see today. What an outstanding job. Teddy, thank you. Dez, Mike T, Kimberly, thank you for getting up with us. And more importantly, thank you for getting up with us. It's been a fun day. Enjoy the rest of it. We will see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.